Let's open this morning in a word of prayer.
我们一起祷告。
Father, as we examine the task of your church in this world,
天父，我们今天要研讨你的教会在这个世界上的工作。
We pray that what is said here this morning is not simply information to be absorbed.
我们希望我们今天不是仅仅在这里讲一些新的
But the pattern set by your people in the early church. Would transform the way that we view our ministry and that we view our world. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen. Seems a bit as if our world here is falling apart. You head up to the state of North Dakota, and much of it was for a while covered by water, flooded. There isn't a month that goes by where there's not some kind of international major natural disaster that goes on. An earthquake in China. A typhoon in Japan. A hurricane in south of Florida. There isn't a month that goes by where you don't hear about another politician and their scandal that they have surrounding them. Or here in Minnesota, we don't even have a government at the moment. But throughout all of the terrible things that seem to be happening in the world, God is still at work. And as we saw from the last time, in the Great Commission of Matthew 28, there is still a task to be completed. The task is the evangelization of the world. Not simply the southern half of the Twin Cities. Not simply China. Not simply the rest of the United States, but to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so I'd like to spend a few weeks here discussing this concept of missions. And as I was preparing for this morning, I thought about walking you through the entire chapters of Acts 13 and 14.
我想应该跟你们把整个《使徒行传》13章、14章好好的看一遍。
And to show you the pattern that Paul followed as he went from city to city preaching the gospel.
那你看一下保罗从不同的城市里面去传福音的这个模式。
But I think before we look at the pattern that Paul actually set, we need to build a foundation for what missions actually is from these passages.
And so
I've titled this morning, A Pattern for Missions, Observation for Local Church Ministry. And so we begin in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. It says, Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul.
这里说在安提阿的教会中有几位先知和教师，就是巴拿巴和称呼尼杰的西面。
And before we dive into this concept of missions, I want to take for a moment a glance just at the leadership of this church. This isn't a church made up of people simply from the city of Antioch. We have definitely Barnabas and Saul. We know that Barnabas is from the island of Cyprus. We know that Saul is from the city of Tarsus. We know that Simon is probably an African. He's called the Black. We have Lucius of Cyrene. We have Manaen, who's probably some sort of Hasmonean nobility. And all of these men from various parts of the ancient world were gathered together in a city leading a church. These men were the prophets and teachers. And having said that, our first observation is that missions, first and foremost, is a ministry of the local church. And in order to explain what I mean by local church, I need to build a distinction in your mind. When we use the word church, we usually mean one of three things. First of all, there's the invisible church. The invisible church is made up of all true believers in Christ Jesus from the time of Acts chapter 2 until the time when Christ returns for his people. It includes both living believers and believers who have gone on to be with the Lord. There's the visible church. And what we say by visible church is all those who profess the true gospel of Jesus Christ, who are living at this moment. And so this would include believers in the city of Minneapolis,
and
Beijing, China,
and
Sao Paulo, South America, and in any other place that you can think of where people would claim the name of Jesus Christ. And then there is the local church. And by the local church, we mean a group of believers who are gathered together, covenant together, meeting in one place. Minnesota Mandarin Christian Church is a local church. T4C down the road is a local church. The Shuwang Church in Beijing is a local church. And I would argue that most of the emphasis in the entire New Testament is upon the local church. Let me demonstrate this to you. Turn over to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is completely about the church. Chapter 1 is about redemption within the church. Chapter 2 is about reconciliation within the church. In chapter 3, Paul explains the revelation of the church. In chapters 4 through 6, he explains how do you live within a church.
第四章跟一到第六章是你的教会里面怎么样生存。
Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1.
我们看以弗所书一章一节。
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
奉神旨意做基督耶稣使徒的保罗。
Look at the people he's writing to. He's writing to the saints, the holy ones, those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And he's writing to them in a specific geographical area. This is the local church of the city of Ephesus. He proclaims that Christ is the head of the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In chapter 2, we see the explanation that no matter what ethnicity that you are,
第二章里面看不管你的种族背景如何,
whether you are Jew or Gentile,
不管你是犹太人还是外邦人,
whether you are slave or freeman,
不管你是奴隶还是自由人,
you are all one in Christ Jesus.
你们在耶稣基督里都是一个。
If you look towards the end of chapter 3,
你在看第三章后面,
this church
这个教会,
that was revealed in latter times, that did not exist before, exists to give Christ all the glory throughout the ages. Look at Ephesians 3:21. Says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And thus, it is through the ministry of the church that the gospel will be carried throughout the four corners of the globe. Now, there are other agencies that are helpful. There are mission agencies that seek to aid the missionaries to get on the field and to support them while they are there. But mission agencies do not send individuals to the mission field. Churches do. And when individuals go to the mission field, they don't go to start other mission agencies and schools. As we'll see in later weeks, they go and they start churches. And so missions is primarily a ministry of the local church. Second, missionaries are those who are already doing the work of ministry at home. We already saw in verse 1 that these men were prophets and teachers. And in the second half of verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, then the Holy Ghost said.
在后面, 他又说,
These men were leaders within the church. They were pastoring. They were teaching. They were well known within the church. They were doing what was right and necessary and important within the church. Look back at Acts chapter 6 to see that what their ministry was. In Acts chapter 6, you have the account of the choosing of the first set of deacons. Let me read for you verses 1 through 4 to show you the kind of ministry that they had. In those days when the number of the disciples multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to the word, to prayer, and the ministry of the word. These men, these apostles, were leaders within the church. They were the ones who were teaching and preaching on a regular basis. And when there came up an issue of administration, they realized that although the task of administration was important, the spiritual task of the teaching of the people and the praying of the people was far more important than taking care of the task of administration. And so these men who were sent out were already doing the task of ministry. They were the ones who were praying, who were teaching, who were leading, who were guiding, and who were shepherding. The missionaries, number 3, are God sent. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now note that it says that the Holy Ghost said. This is probably not a voice from the sky that all of a sudden appears, Separate from me, Barnabas and Saul. Wouldn't church ministry be much easier if we simply had a voice from heaven that told us what to do all the time? First of all, these men were prophets. And prophecy in both the Old and New Testament is direct revelation from God. But we no longer have prophets among us. And so we have a problem. How do we know who is to be in church leadership and who is to be a missionary today without direct words from God? It would be nice if we could pray to God and all of a sudden a name would appear in the clouds of who our next pastor would be.
可能对我们来说很好，我们只要祷告，然后突然间从空中这个名字就出来了，谁是我们的将来的牧师。
And so then we look in the phone book and call everyone by that name and say, hey, do you want to be a pastor?
我们可以打电话找凡是有那个名字的人，找他问他要不要做我们的牧师。
It's not how it works.
并不是这样子的。
But we have God's word.
我们有神的，但是我们有神的话。
And we have the pattern of men before.
我们有前面人工作的模式。
So how do we know?
我们怎么能知道呢？
Who's to be in missions and who's to be in church leadership?
谁能够在教会里做领导的工作？谁能够出去传道呢？
The first is desire.
第一是他有这种欲望。
Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1.
我们回到第十七章，第十七章第一节。
It says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work.
So this is 真的，假如他有愿望要做这个领导，他就有愿望做神的工作。
Now let me explain what I mean by desire.
这个欲望是怎么解释呢？
I have a lot of friends from college who desire to go into missions.
我有很多大学里的朋友有欲望要出去做传道的工作。
Many of them desired to go for good reasons.
很多的人他们有好的原因要去做。
But a number of them saw the adventure and the excitement of travel.
但是有些人只是想出去，好像是旅行，去看做看一些好的风景。
And so they would go around asking churches for money.
所以他们就到不同的教会请他们捐钱。
And raised thousands of dollars.
他们捐了不少的钱。
To spend 2 weeks of a summer.
然后在一个夏暑假只花了两个礼拜的时间。
With a missionary they'd never met.
就从来没有见到过的宣传人。
And trying to work with people in a language that they could not speak.
去一个地方工作，他们不能说当地的话。
And so I ask.
所以我就问。
Is that really effective use of missions money?
这是不是很有效的使用传道的金钱呢？
Oh, they had plenty of adventures.
虽然他们有很多的好的经验。
They took lots of pictures.
他们照了很多的照片。
They may have even had a chance to work with and through translators.
他们可能还借着翻译做工作。
But their eternal impact was really non-existent.
但是他们并没有放就有一个好的这个影响。
So they have to be doing the work at home, and they have to have a real desire to be working in and through the lives of these people.
所以这些人不但他们要在家里面就已经开始工作，他们还要有这个欲望要出去做工作。
And such commitment requires time and years of work.
所以这些人他们需要摆上很多年的时间，很多年的工作。
I know other missionaries
我知道有些其他的传道人
who have spent 10, 20, 30, in some cases even 40 years.
他们花了20年、30年，甚至有人有40年的时间
laboring among people of foreign countries.
在其他的国家里面劳力工作
learning their languages,
学习他们当地的语言
planting churches.
在那边种教播种撒种种教会
seeing local leadership raised up
然后看一些栽培一些地方的领导人员
and moving on
然后往前跑
that's the kind of desire
这个就是所谓的欲望
the kind that will stick to it when it becomes difficult
所以当事情真的困难的时候他们能继续不断的工作
and so the first test is desire
所以第一个条件是要有这种欲望。
The second test is Christian life.
所以第二个是要有基督的徒的生命。
And you can see that from the rest of 1 Timothy chapter 3.
你可以从第三章的地方看其他的这些经验。
I won't take the time to look at that closely at this moment.
现在我们暂时不花太多时间来看。
The third
第三个
is Christian duty.
是基督徒的责任。
Is the one who has the desire doing what a minister and a missionary does at home. Do we take someone who's fresh out of college, fresh out of seminary? That has little or no experience working with people in a pastoral role. And send them overseas to work with a people of whom they don't even know the language and culture. To start a church and to pastor them. They don't know what they're doing here. Let alone in a foreign land. And so the missionaries are God sent. And at the right point in time, when one is ready to be sent out, it will become evident to the one who is going. And it will become clear to the church that this is the right person and the right time. They have the desire. They have the training. They have the ability. They have the experience. There's a location where there's a need. There's the ability to send them. And the church speaks as a unified voice from God. And they send them with their blessing. So we come to the fourth point. Missionaries are sent by the church. Look what it says in verse 3 and 4. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Look who the one who's actually sending the people. When they had fasted and prayed. And so we ask a question, who is this they? Is the they the Holy Spirit? No, it's plural. Is it the church leaders? I would say probably not, since these two are part of the church leaders. I would say that these who were fasting and praying and sent them away was the church. So this team of two that was sent out by the church in Antioch. The church sends the missionaries. I'd like to note as well that this is not one church supporting another church. There is a biblical precedent for that when there is need. This is a church sending individuals and supporting individuals. And within Paul's lifetime, Paul was supported by a number of different people. He was supported by individuals. He stayed in their homes and was fed by their food. He was supported by gifts from other churches, as we see from the Church of Philippi especially. He was supported by individuals who would come with him and move next to him and work by him in order to support him. And sometimes he had to be supported by the work of his own hands. But he's sent by the church. But it's not simply like the church sends him away and never hears from him again. If you look back in Acts chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. After their first missionary journey, it says, "And thence they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. When they were come, they gathered their church together. They rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." So when we support missionaries, it is right and prudent to expect them to regularly report back. What have you been doing over there on the field? How have you been spending the money that you were being supported with? Tell me about the churches that you've been working with and that you've planted. Tell me about the men that you've trained for local leadership there. I was actually chatting with a friend of mine who's a missionary to Indonesia the other night. And he was lamenting the fact of some other missionaries on the field that he works with. That there are men who go to the field to build their own little empires, where they start their own church and they're the pastor and they're never going to relinquish the leadership. When there are men in the church who are native to that land, who know the language, who know the customs, who know the culture, who are vibrant believers, and these men are not willing to train others for ministry to step down and then to move to plant another church elsewhere. And their church back at home has no idea of what's happening. And so there's no real accountability that happens. And my missionary friend had told me that when he attempted to bring up these issues with these missionaries, of how that what they were doing was wrong, he was simply viewed as an idealistic young man who's just trying to upset the apple cart of the way that we've always done things. But there's a biblical precedence for accountability back to the church. And we live in a day and age when this is quite simple and quite possible. You can turn on your computer and have a conversation by video with someone on the other side of the world for free. You can be to anywhere almost in the world in a number of hours instead of days or weeks or months. So it's quite easy and quite possible to hold these people accountable to what they're doing. And the missionary who will not be held accountable by his church. There needs to be great worry and concern for what's happening there. And finally, missionaries are responsible for continued ministry in and to their local church. It's not simply that we send them away and bring them back occasionally to hear the stories of missionary legend. It's that when they come home, they were doing the same things that they were doing before they left. That they are leading and that they are guiding within the church. And so as verse 28 ends, and they abode there a long time with the disciples. They were doing the same tasks that they were always doing. Maybe you're here this morning. And there are those, maybe back in China that you know, who are not believers. Maybe there's a desire in your heart to return to China to fulfill the task of the Great Commission. Or there's a task, or there are other places in the world where other Chinese people. I have missionary friends in Suriname, South America. And in Suriname, they say that the Chinese population down there is growing in leaps and bounds. I have another missionary friend in Zambia, Africa, who said, in my city alone, we have 500,000 Chinese people in Africa. And so there are many opportunities for missions worldwide. But maybe if you look at your life, you say, I've really been spending the last few years in church sitting on my hands. I haven't been living my Christian life first and foremost in a manner that would qualify me for church leadership. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning saying, I have been living right and I want to be trained to learn how to lead and to guide and to shepherd a group of people. A church that cannot be guided by its own people. A church from which pastors cannot be raised from its own congregation. Is truly a sick and unhealthy body. It's the pattern of the New Testament. Where those who were the mature in the church were raised up to lead and to guide. And that those who were leading and guiding within the church were then sent out to reproduce their church elsewhere.
做领导工作教导的，应该把他们派出去，在其他地方设立教会。
We'll close here in a word of prayer.
我们一起祷，结束祷告。
Father, your word has given us the pattern for what our church ought to be.
天父，你的话语告诉我们，教会是应工作应该是怎么样。
And for what the leadership of this church ought to be.
在这个教会里面做领导的人应该怎么样工作。
And thus, Father, we put the future of our church into your hands.
因此我们把我们教会的前途仰望在主的手中。
That by your sovereign grace you would mold the hearts of the people.
靠着你的主权跟恩典，你来塑造这教会里的人。
To lift up their eyes to the fields which are white to harvest.
当我们抬起眼来，你可以看到这个工作的场合已经成熟。
To be willing to lead and to guide the church in a manner that is pleasing to you.
这些人他们愿意能够讨你的喜悦的方法来带领这个教会。
And then to carry the banner of the cross throughout the globe.
愿意在全世界把你的十字架传出去。
Father, we pray that you would make Minnesota Mandarin Christian Church.
天父，我们请求你让明州这国语基督教会。
Into a beacon of light that can be seen across not only this part of the Twin Cities.
不但在这一个地方，这双城地方能够一个做成光塔。
But to the far corners of the world.
甚至于他们的光可以照到世界的极端。
Raise up leaders who are willing to do so.
在这个教会里面兴起一些领导人员，他们愿意这样子的工作。
And start with the men who are sitting here in this room this morning.
我们可以今天就从在这里坐的人身上开始。
We pray in your son's precious name.
我们靠你主儿子宝贵的名祷告。
Amen.